So I'm pretty sure that I have whiffed the last two icebreaker portions of our little show we got going here. So I am going to not try this time. And I'm going to ask if any of you have anything that you want to talk about. If not, we can get right to what we're drinking. That's all I've been doing is drinking.
I just saw on Twitter earlier, it was awesome. The Prime Minister of New Zealand was in the middle of an interview and they had an earthquake, a mild one, but like while the interview's going on, and she just handled it like a champ. She was like, yeah, so we've got a bit of a shake going on here. Don't worry, I'm not under any hanging lights. I'm in a secured building.
It's like, all right, and such a New Zealand flavor. Yeah.
And it's like, and now it's passed.
What a fucking baller.
Yeah, she just killed it. I was like, dude, I experienced the slightest tremor of an earthquake in Barstow, California one time, my first time ever in Barstow, California, and I almost shit my pants.
Well, she's probably used to it more so than you are.
Right. First rodeo.
Well, I thank you, Heath. Once again, you come to my rescue when I draw a blank.
I just talk too much.
Yeah, well, I know I can always count on you for that skill. So, but Griffin, why don't you take us into the thing that we usually do? Okay.
Oh, sometimes, yeah. I'll give us a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
On the execution of this. Speaking of a 6 out of 10, hey Steve, what you drinking?
Griffin, I wanted you to use that on me because I'm drinking a beer called 6 Feet. Whoops Ridge Brewing. Well done. But by the way, listeners at home are probably a little confused right now.
Are they?
Hey guys, I'm Steve here. I play Matumbe and Saw on the Hideous Laughter podcast.
There it is.
And thank you, Griffin, for kicking me right away.
I was startled. I was startled, and I can see you on the video. So
who is this stranger that is playing with us?
After I took off the mosaic filter and you guys could see me, it probably makes a lot more sense. And the beer's okay too, so that works out.
Speaking of someone that I know, works out. Hey Heath, what you drinking?
Yeah, don't let that tank top fool you.
Yeah, I'm just hot. Like physically, like, no, I can't make this sound yet. Yeah.
Temperature.
It's warm in here because I can't have my AC on. And I'm just drinking a Miller Lite tall boy, man. They were cheap at the store.
Heard. Ooh.
Nice. Speaking of someone else who's cheap at the store. Hey, Adam.
Hey. how are you doing today, Griffin? I'm doing okay. I'm drinking a pineapple truly tonight. This is not the first time that I've had this flavor, but the first time I had it was yesterday, and I'm a big fan of the pineapple truly. It's pretty, pretty tasty.
Yeah, they are. They're really good.
You guys have been drinking truly like the whole time you've been doing your show, right? Like pineapple's the best flavor of truly.
I know. I've been sleeping on it the whole time.
How did you miss it?
I don't know. I just never got the tropical pack. I always got the berry pack.
You're a child. Shut
up. Damn.
I know who I'm targeting tonight.
Well, speaking of who I'm targeting, hey, Emily, what you drinking?
You are going to be targeting me after this because I'm drinking a non-alcoholic.
God, every fucking
day. I'm sorry.
What's it going to take?
You already know what this game is about.
Like, I do, but...
It's a goddamn holiday.
I'm sorry. Does it make
Emily,
it better?
Emily, you're on thin ice right now. We might bring up Emily Campbell up to the majors, you know? Just saying. She's in the wings ready to go.
She can handle her liquor.
She is a high caliber lady.
So we got a designated hitter.
Yeah. It is a holiday. We're recording this on Memorial Day, so it makes it a little bit better because I'm drinking a blueberry pomegranate aha sparkling water, and it is, in fact, red, white, and blue. Merca. So,
I mean, you tried.
I tried.
All of us are like, no.
There's so many simultaneous heads.
I just realized that the color scheme was there, like when I picked up the can. So I wasn't even like thinking about it ahead of time.
Well, speaking of somebody I'm hoping can pick up the can and redeem this, Zach, what are you drinking?
Griff, I like that serve, man. Tonight I'm having a delicious Delirium Nocturnum.
Oh,
a little Belgian
beer.
Brown ale. It's really fantastic. It's nice and thick.
You're treating yourself tonight, huh? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Speaking of nice and stuff. Thick, hey, it's me, Griff, your GM. I mean, not your GM, but one of the players this time. I'm drinking a press grapefruit and cardamom. It's pretty good.
What is it? Is it like a seltzy, man?
Yeah, it's a seltzy. It's a new seltzer. Well, yeah, I don't know you guys if it's have new,
been,
but...
You guys have been getting on the whatever brand that is that's like doing some really like crazy foodie flavors.
Oh, Vizzy?
The Vizzies.
Yeah.
Been on the Vizzy train.
Is that a regional thing? I haven't seen those anywhere.
I don't know. They've just been popping up and I just grab any new seltzer.
Yeah.
I know Ohio's like a test market for a lot of restaurants and stuff. I don't know if it's the same way for like food and beverage
test
stuff,
market
but
for
who
alcohol.
Knows?
That'd be great.
I mean, they see what works with us.
Mm-hmm. these guys
speaking of
it.
Speaking of that, the other day I was at the liquor store and I saw Jägermeister cold brew flavor. So maybe we are a test market for liquor. Because that sounds horrendous.
All right, that sounds really bad. Stop recording. Go Does order some for me and send it to me. I gotta have it.
I was about to say, listen, it was a pre-show ritual for Heath and I to take shots of Jaeger before.
Yeah,
I'm fine with Jaeger. On the record, I'm fine with it. It's throwing it with the whack ass whatever mechanical cold brew that they put in there.
Yeah, with the coffee, I can't imagine that's gonna be any good.
It just sounds like a really bad burp waiting to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
or something really, coming out the other way.
Yeah.
Or a really bad throw up.
Now, if you drink several. None of the bodily functions.
If you drink seven,
I said several.
Yeah, if you drink seven, it'll be
like seven. I was like, yeah, for sure, 100%.
If you're taking seven shots, of that you might have other problems.
You're gonna have a bad time.
I mean, that sounds right up you guys' podcast alley.
Like, it does.
Your insides are the least of your concern.
Well, speaking of gross mashups, you guys are facing a cerebric fungus, which we were discussing off air before we started. How that is just the most Starfinder-y name for an alien. You know, just mashing up some things that. Mm-hmm. Sound kind of gross and weird together. So, and it is weird and gross because it's a brain on like a little bed of tentacles with a giant circular mouth of rows of razor sharp teeth. And that is what has just dropped down out of the shadows of this giant starship that you were trying to get to and escape with. Now you have this problem in front of you, and I need everybody to roll initiative, but it's going to get a surprise round on you.
Oh,
whoa, I don't know about that. Bummer.
Oh, guys, hold up. Gosh. I'm still deaf. Wait.
Yes. Same. Yeah, I forgot about
so
that.
So is Vin.
All right, so that's a 13 on initiative.
You make sure you took in that negative modifier for being deaf?
13.03.
Yeah, I did. I'd rolled a 14 and took the negative one, got the
Fair
13.
Enough.
All right, so we'll go down the row here. Yavari, what did you get?
Yavari got a big 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, Tex, what about you?
Normally, we can count on our soul bond or whatever to help us out, but I'm going with your 8 because I rolled a 7.
No.
Vin, what about you? You said 13.
13,
right?
Lucky number 13, man.
Sigurd, what about you?
Sig's got a 13 as well. He's a 13.03.
Natasi?
0.
You got a 0
yes.
on your initiative?
Baby, you got to roll the die. There's a number on the die.
I hear you coming from. Let me explain. I rolled a 2 with my conferred -2. It nets out to a -2. It's actually a -4, but I have a +2. Whatever. I rolled a 0. I went +2, -2. So
wow.
I'll drop me at the bottom.
You're definitely at the bottom.
How crazy is it that a 0 doesn't go on the board?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a natural 0.
At least
wasn't it Natty Zero?
the rare elusive Natty Zero. Okay, well, with the surprise round, Yvari, I need you to roll a will save.
A will save? Okay, yes. That's cool.
It's not, though.
It's actually okay. 16?
You rolled a 16?
Yeah.
You're okay.
Cool.
So that was his surprise round, or its surprise round action, and somehow with a 15, it is at the top of the round here. So it's going to get to go again at the beginning of round one, and I need Sigurd to roll a will save.
Put it on the board. That's an natural one.
Ooh. Oh, no. Something tells me it's a bad time for it.
Bro.
I was so hoping that was going to be a 20.
Okay. Sigurd, it is your turn, and I need you to roll me a D100 because you are confused.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
This could be real bad.
Yeah. All right. That's a 21.
21, I'm pretty sure that's not too bad. Let's look here. Hold on just a second.
Just doesn't do anything. I'm pretty sure
it's babble incoherently. Let me just make sure that's correct. You said 21 yep. is what you rolled? Yeah, with a 21, that is going to be... act normally.
There you go.
The 25 is act normally.
So. Oh, fucking right.
Guys, something's seriously rustling my jimmies right now.
So you feel this kind of intrusion into your mind, trying to rattle you. And even though you fail to like push it out of your mind completely, you're able to ignore it for this round and act normally. So what do you do?
So, question for you, Adam. Can I walk under this wing-looking thing on the map?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
I forgot first, though, before you take your turn, I need you to also roll another will save.
Okay.
As you feel this thing just, like, reading your mind.
That's an 18.
And you feel it like trying to dig into your greatest fears, but again, you're able to kind of mind trap it out and reject whatever it's trying to do. So you do have your turn to act as normally there. And now where the starship is are occupied squares.
Okay, so Sig's going to move 5, 10, 15, 20. To get in front of everybody, and he's going to entropic strike with his momentum special ability.
Okay. And remind me how you're getting entropic strike as arranged.
Because of the momentum, like Vanguard entropy.
Aspect.
Yeah, Vanguard yeah. aspect. You get it as telekinetic projectile.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Let's get it then.
Okay, that's a 23 to hit against EAC.
Nice.
That will hit.
And that is 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
6 points of bludgeoning damage. Okay. That will... go through. And that will be your turn, yes?
Yep, that's my turn.
Okay. Next up, we have Vin.
So Vin can...
I need you to roll a will save.
Oh, man!
Yes.
That is not cool, dude. Most definitely not cool. That's not good. 11.
11. You feel this thing reaching into your brain as well, as if it's filing through a card catalog of all your fears, and it settles on one and manifests it right in front of your eyes, and you can like see this image of, I don't know what Vin's greatest fears are, but you certainly see something from your subconscious manifested. And while you know it's not there, like you know enough to know that it's not there, you become off target.
Wow. For how long?
Until you make the save. So you'll have to save every...
Oh. So yeah, that sucks.
Is he off target and deaf?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Cool, cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, Vin's like, I don't even know what the fuck is going on, but I'm going to shoot it, I guess. And Vin will take his hand and sort of like perform a little techno magic and just zap a little energy into his laser blaster and cast supercharge weapon.
On your laser blaster?
On my laser blaster, okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep, and that'll be your turn. Be my turn.
Okay. Next up, we have Yavari.
Okay.
You need to make a will save, please.
Well, all right then. Just come at me like that. Like a real piece of shit. 7?
7?
7?
Yeah, you also see your fears manifested in front of you, and you are off target.
Cool. Love it. Absolutely. Love it. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
You said that, could I be in this area right here?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So she's going to move, just to the kind of northeast-ish of, the creature, trying to stay out of everybody's shot.
As you do that,
ah, shit.
One of the tentacles whip out at you with a 15-foot reach. And so you will... that is going to be a 13 to hit. That'll miss, right?
Yeah, it will. Yeah. How does... Why?
Because you moved through a threatened square. It has 15-foot reach.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I got there. I figured it out.
Okay.
Okay. Well, with that, she's going to go ahead and try and get a whack off with her red star.
Whack off?
Yeah. That's not going to get it. I got to I gotta change dice. 9's not going to get it, I bet.
No, it's not.
Cool. But she's up here. She's drawing attention. And yeah, that's that.
Okay. Not a great round for the team here.
Nope,
Tex,
really.
Can you turn the tide here?
I don't know. Do I have to roll a will save?
You do.
Yeah. That'll be a 13.
A 13 is a fail.
God damn.
You are off target as well.
Sweet. So, Tex is going to run 30 feet forward and just take a shot with his pistol.
Okay.
I'm going to put it on the board because that's a natural one.
Oh, no.
In the words of my good friend Zach, let's just wipe it, guys. Let's start this episode over.
It's nice knowing you.
Let's wipe it.
Wow. Natasi, your crew is crumbling around you. The carbon-based life forms seem to be unable to deal with this. Let's see if you can. Let me get that will save.
Adam, is this a mind-affecting effect?
It is.
Would it affect a construct?
Well, you take... you have because
it,
you're
it,
both...
It would give me a bonus if it,
it would give
does
you
not.
Right, so it would not... affect a construct normally.
Okay, perfect. So I get,
so
I get a little,
get bonus.
Little bit of a bonus here.
That's correct.
Good luck, Steve.
I think that's going to do it. I got a 21.
That will do it. You are not off target.
So, you know, her. This is all about fear, right? And for a brief second, she sees this flash of a man in a surgical mask leaning over her with a drill and a scalpel. He says, "Let's see what makes you tick." But she disappears that from her mind. And
Look, I'll pause you right there. As reluctant as I am, I'm going to give you another inspiration for that, even though you already have three.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
But thank you for actually manifesting the fear. So I appreciate that. Take an inspiration.
Thank you very much. I live with fear every day of my life, so I know what it looks like. So Natasi moves forward. She runs up right behind Tex and by Sigurd, but again, she cannot hear. However, Tex is he's a little guy, so she puts her laser pistol like kind of directly over his head and pulls the trigger, tries to hit this giant fleshy monstrosity.
All right. And now Tex is deafened. No.
Nah, he's had a long career of having people shoot right over
with
his head.
Natural 20.
There it is.
Oh, thank God.
That's much needed. Oh. Natural 20. Critical hit there.
All right. Here we go. Let me pull up what kind of damage I'm doing. We've been not playing this game for a really long time. All right, so I am going to roll. Not awful, because I'm rolling a couple d4s. That's going to be 5 points of fire damage.
5 points of fire damage. Now, did you roll twice for your critical damage?
I did.
So five is what you get on a crit, is what you tell me.
Does it take this burning condition, or is that
It will, because you critically hit. So that does put the cerebric fungus on fire.
Hell yeah.
How much burn? Because it is its turn, so we'll go ahead and
It would be 1d6. Do you want me to roll it, or you?
You can roll it. It's your damage.
Sweet. Fucking 1 point of fire damage. Get out of here.
Well, he takes it every round.
Yep. I'll take it, yeah.
Solid.
All right,
Dan.
It is the fungus's turn, and
the fungus among us.
Once again, I need Yavari to roll a will save.
Okay, I got you, boss. Yeah. Okay. 15.
That is a fail.
Fuck.
And you are now confused.
I'd rather not be.
And let's see, it is going to move back.
Do I do the thing?
What thing?
Roll.
On your turn, you will.
Oh, okay.
And it moves back a little bit into the shadows. Sigurd, you are up.
All right, I gotta roll my confusion dice. Unless that only lasts one round.
That is only one round, so you are actually no longer confused.
I'm good now, guys.
Thank God, because I totally forgot about that and I'm standing right behind you.
Yeah, I was about to like turn and be like, "Hey guys, something fuck's going on." Okay, Sig's gonna 5, 10, 15, 20. Is that thing now clear shot for him, or is it
yes,
like, okay,
yeah,
so he's gonna go ahead and pump another shot of his entropic strike at it.
Okay.
Ooh, natty 19. That'll hit.
Nice.
Yes sir.
Heck yeah.
Only 4 points of damage though.
Take it though.
Alright, not bad. Vin, we're back to you. I need you to roll a will save.
Is this to see if I'm off target?
Yes. Griffin, you notice I did not ask you to make a will
save. Put it on the board, dude. It's a dire wolf. I assume that means natural 20, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so yes, you are no longer off target.
Oh, thank God.
And you will not have to roll anymore.
All right. So, Vin, Def, He comes, you know, running up. He's like, "Oi, hot potato, hot potato, this thing's ready to blow. And his pistol is just like shaking and pulsating. And he'll fire a shot at the what is it? A cerebric fungus?
That's correct.
Okay.
They call it big fungus.
How about a 19 to hit?
I like it. Oh, when Lord, you call he me confused him. Fungus.
A 19 to hit will hit.
And on the AC?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So Vin just takes aim and fires an overcharge shot, and this massive blast comes out of the blaster, and it's going to do a 1d4 plus 4d6 damage.
Holy crap.
Okay, so that's one on the actual damage. And then let's get the...
For five total damage?
Yeah, okay, so that's a 3, a 2. And then a 3 and a 4.
So that's 12 more damage.
Yes. So 13 Jeez. Total damage.
Nice.
Then just lets
nice
it out.
Shot there. That definitely put the hurting on the cerebric fungus. As
hey,
you...
I think I got him, everyone.
He's just screaming.
What did you say, Vinian?
Yavari, I need you to roll a will save, and then I need you to roll your confusion check. Okay. We're going to start with that will save.
14.
It's just enough to make the save on the off target.
Oh, great. Yay. You won't be off target when you hit us.
Yeah, so you'll be at full force when you roll that confusion D100 now.
Okay, low dive. Oh, cool. All right, 11.
All right, act normally. I swear, I have gotten lesser confusion off multiple times in this book. It's like a regular skill that almost all the enemies have, and I've yet to do actual negative consequences for you with it, ever.
That's why I'm so scared to use my lesser confusion.
Once you do, he'll have to weaponize his.
Yeah.
His will become effective.
Right. Act normally. On target. Okay. You've resisted your fear.
Yeah, she just kind of shakes it off. She's like, and there's like some boxes. It looks like maybe this tentacle brain has some cover or something.
It would have some very small amount of cover with that.
No, because Yavari's going to like fluff her wings out and land on top of them.
There you go.
And
you're going to take an opportunity attack.
That's fine.
Though.
That's fine. She's aware.
So he's going to try. Another tendril whips out. And that is going to be a 17 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. You're going to take. What is your KAC?
17.
Okay. So it hits it. You're not grabbed, which is nice, but you do take 5 points of slashing damage as this tendril just whips across your chest, just and just like kind of rips in through to your armor, putting like a little, well, not ripping through it, puts a little dent in it, kind of starts knocking the wind out of you.
Sorry, I realized my number lock wasn't on. I was like, what is my damage? Okay, well, that's fine. She takes that, and she's like,
she just kind of stomps through it, right? Tendril right across her chest, and she just keeps plowing forward.
And she's going to try and get a swing off. God damn it, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
That has to be a natural one. That's got to be it.
Oh, no. Gang.
This is rough.
This might be one of the worst ones.
Yeah, this is really rough. Tex, we're back to you, man. Let me get that will save first.
That's a 9.
You are off target.
Tight. From somewhere in a juke joint outside of Texas, early in Stevie Ray Vaughan's career, coked out of his mind, he snaps some guitar strings as I cast Puncture Veil, and that moment is transposed into our reality. I'm going to use it as a full action, which gives me the option to use it as 2d4 piercing damage and bleeding 2 for 3 rounds.
Last spell slot used on this fungus.
Yep.
But it's automatic damage pretty much, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, fucking That's the first time I've had die get stuck in my dice tower. Okay. Yeah, that'll be 7 damage and bleeding 2 for 3 rounds.
What kind of damage?
Yes.
Yes.
Piercing.
Piercing. Okay. And then bleeding 2.
Yes.
For 2 rounds. All right.
Fuck up the jelly.
3 rounds.
Yeah, 2 for 3 rounds.
Golly. And it's still burning. All right. Natasi.
Okay, Natasi's going to keep pushing forward. Again, going to end up kind of close to Sigurd, kind of in between-ish Sigurd and Vin. I have to imagine shooting this creature would impart some pretty brutal negatives here, but I can't get any closer without opening myself up to an attack. So, Adam, where would you classify that from a cover standpoint? It's bad.
You can take a shot, but, you know, that's as undercover. Okay.
I mean, I'm not burning my last spell slot, so this is as good as it's going to get. Yeah, and I don't think a 13 against the EAC with all that cover and shit is going to do anything.
No.
She tried. She did her best.
All right. It is the fungus's turn. And so let's get that burn damage.
Okay.
It's another D6. And then 2 points just right off the bat from the bleed, right?
Listen, yep. We're making progress on the burn. That went up from 1 point to 2 points.
Oh, there
you
go. Yeah.
You can always make that reflex save if you want to.
Yeah, I tried last time and failed, so okay. I just didn't say anything about it because I was sad. but I have to do that at the end of my turn. So what we're going to do here is I need everybody to make a will save as this thing opens its mouth all the way, like, distended, and you can see all the rows of its teeth, and then all of a sudden this awful sound comes retching out of it. So guess who doesn't have to roll will saves?
The deaf people?
The deaf Woo! People do not have to roll will saves. Because you can't hear it as this mandrake-like shriek comes out of this creature's mouth. So any of you that are not deaf, I'm going to need a will save.
Yeah, I got a 15. I'm not feeling great about it.
Would this be a deafening effect?
No.
Or it's just if you can't hear it, then you... Okay, I just didn't know if
I had
it.
It's not a deafening effect.
Okay,
no.
Got you. God damn it. 6.
Not good. Sigurd, did you already tell me what
you got? Yeah, I got a 15.
15. Okay, what about Tex?
Okay.
I'm gonna put it on the board with a natural 20.
Oh, thank God. Nice.
Okay. Sigurd, Tex, you're fine.
Oh, dope.
Yavari.
Oh, no.
This sound just rattles your skull. Like, to the point to where the brown note happens.
Oh.
And you are nauseated for 1 round.
Okay, that's
But according great. To you, canonically, she's shitting right now, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm understanding. Yeah.
It's the other end if it's the brown note.
Can you guys imagine a, like, large dragon just, like, keep being scared shitless?
Literally.
Look at us now, Steve. Everyone talks shit, but we're not shitting our pants.
That's right. It's all worth it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here's the deal. It's going to roll to try to get these conditions off of it. So I'm going to roll for the fire first. All right, that's a 19.
19 will definitely do it, yeah.
Yep, and then for the bleed... you just roll a flat check for bleed, right? I don't remember. Bleed always messes me up. I'm gonna look it up.
It's because of the blood loss. Mm. That's why.
Makes you loopy.
Yep, it'll do it.
Oh, and apparently, because some nerd will inevitably call me out about this, apparently the burn is only 1d4. The burning condition is 1d6 if it doesn't say anything. It was 1d4, but I rolled a 1 and a 2, so I don't think that really changes anything.
Fucking nerds.
So, bleeding can be stopped by a DC 15 treat injury check or through the application of any psionic power that cures hit point damage.
Yeah, can't do anything about the bleed then.
Yeah.
Because I just used my turn to do the sonic shriek. Okay, so that is its turn. Sigurd, you are up.
All right. Sig's going to move up. Probably incurring.
You are definitely going to incur.
All right, he's going to take that.
To the face.
It's 21.
Yep.
So actually you're going to need to go back to the square that you were in.
Why? Do you think that grapples me? Because it definitely doesn't. My AC is 20.
Your AC is 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't grapple you. You're right. You're right. Totally right. You are going to take 6 points of slashing damage,
and
though.
Gain some entropy, which he's going to pump into his shield. Let's go.
All right, cool. So you got the entry point, turning it right around, keeping the energy moving as you Krog Maga right back into him.
That's an HLP on the die, which is Daddy Daddy 20. Shit.
There it is.
I love how sassy fucking Griff was. Like, are you under the impression that grapples me?
Do you think you can fucking feasibly grapple me? 20?
Get the fuck out of here with that noise.
I feel like he's been playing with me long enough to that's where we're at now. You know, this is where eventually everybody gets.
Griff,
you know?
That's a we'll see you moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sassy
that
Griff.
That would be a proper usage of a we'll see you with that. So what kind of damage we...
It's going to be 16 points of damage.
Wow.
Very nice.
Sassy this thing slays. Looks pretty, pretty beat up, hemorrhaging on all its cerebral lobes as Sigurd just goes in there, and smashes it with its own energy, like takes that opportunity attack and like doubles it basically. And just smashes it right back at the fungus. Nice job, Sigurd. Vin, it's your turn.
Vin can barely see what's going on with, you know, all of the people in front of this thing plus the cover. But he's going to try to shoot into it anyway, and I'm going to use an inspiration.
Okay.
On that to try to get a little bit of a bonus.
All right, a little plus two action.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be an 18 to hit.
Ooh.
Let's see, with the cover.
Gosh, that'll hit.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'll get it.
That'll get it? Oh, yep. Very cool. Get 1d4, son, in your face. All right.
I don't have a face. I just have a mouth.
Three damage.
Right.
Hey,
okay.
That's...
Okay.
Pew, pew!
Okay. Yavari.
So Yavari is nauseated. Yes. Got it. So she can't do anything but a single move action. She is going to do that to try and A, get out of the way, and B, to attempt to set Sigurd up for flanking. So she's going to scoot to the north.
Okay. All right.
And that's all she can do. And she just kind of scuttles and goes,
That's it.
Fine. That's fine.
No, you can't because I've already used it. So you are actually safe. Tex, you're up.
Man, it's not a whole lot I'm going to be able to do. Okay. I'm going to move, up and over a little next to Natasi and take a shot with my pistol.
Okay.
My cold pistol.
To go. I hate you.
That's another natural 20.
Hey, go.
What?
Yeah.
Woo.
Dude, we're rolling ones and 20s.
It's nothing. It's, yeah, all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that will be... 1 cold and piercing damage. but it has a crit effect of bleed 1d4.
Well, if you crit, you're going to do it twice.
You get to roll the damage twice.
Oh, cool, here. So it's 4 total.
Okay. The cold damage does not go through.
Okay.
But it's now bleeding. What? So what's your bleed?
Well, but it's cold and piercing damage.
So half of it so will it's go gonna, through.
So it would take half of that. Yeah. So what was your total?
My Six, total said, damage four. Was 4. So he'd take 2 damage.
Well, you rolled 1 on the first one, right?
Yeah, I rolled a 1.
And then what'd you roll on the second die? The second roll?
3.
All right, yeah, so, yeah, okay. It takes 2 piercing. All right.
And then would bleed stack? Would
it doesn't stack, whichever bleed? Is higher.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see.
Well, no, like, no, what, how much bleed does it get?
1d4.
All right, so the 1d6 is going to stay on because that bleed's a higher bleed.
It's not 1d6.
It's not 1d6.
You're thinking of the burn.
It's just bleed 2 for 3 rounds is what the other thing was.
I see. Well, I don't know. With then, how does that
if
work?
He rolls higher than a... Then a 2, then that's what that's the bleed that it gets.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
And I rolled a 3.
So hey,
well, that triggers now on its turn.
Okay.
But yeah, all right, we'll count. We'll roll that 3 over. Natasi, you're up.
All right. I really did want to go where Tex was going, and I don't really want to stand behind him and incur that penalty for shooting through him. I'm just going to shoot where I am. I think that might clip through Sigurd, so that probably confers some penalty. But I'll just take one shot and see what I get. Really just fishing for crits here, honestly. I don't know. That could do it with a total dirty 20 against EAC. I know he's behind some boxes and maybe Sig is giving away. Sweet. That's there what I'm talking about. This will be some fire damage. Here it come. 1 point of fire damage.
One.
That 1 point is exactly enough to kill this Reaper. Yes!
Hey, man, combo in the fire and bleed damage. It never hurts.
That'll do ya.
Nice, yeah, man.
You guys, awesome. I'm just going to go take a nap.
I'm going to go take a shit.
Nice job, guys. Nice job,
you guys
indeed.
Are great.
It's a fun little creature. You guys handled it pretty good. Didn't hurt, I don't think it hurt y'all too much, huh? Just kind of messed you up in the head a little bit. But
no, I mean, just a little.
That's why it's just so cerebral.
Okay, so here we are now, kind of like, okay, back in this hangar with your only way off this infested planet. You have a bunch of folks up at the top of the stairs of this underground hangar being watched over by Zelonin, depending on you to find a way out. And of course, you have Dr. Loachwort, who is certain that you are all going to fail because you're just all inept and he can do everything better.
Where's his ship?
Yeah, you found a ship, but the power of is still down. Yeah, and you don't really know the condition of the ship. So that's where we're at now. What do you do?
Can I assess the condition of the ship?
Sure.
Is that like, can I just do it once over?
You can roll an engineering, yeah.
Okay. I will. I'll do that.
Can I assist? Is that a mm-hmm. thing?
Sure. You know okay, it's a thing, ahead. Emily.
What's that a thing I can do? I assist.
Okay.
I aid.
All right. You aid?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, it's a 12. It's a 12 on the die, plus 8 is a dirty 20, plus the aid.
So it's 22.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what you can tell just from looking at it on the outside, right? I mean, you're not getting on its inner guts or whatever, but it doesn't look like it sustained any damage from any of the assault on Rayo City. It looks in good condition. What you do notice is that the fuel tank valve is open, and that there are fuel lines kind of laying on the floor. So with that, you can assess that it was probably in the stage of getting fueled or needs to be fueled, something of that manner. You know, like it's open, you know, and you would know with that like once a tank gets full, you know, you want to keep that valve closed just because of the dangers. You know, you wouldn't leave it wide open like that. So that's the basically what you can gather from it, just from a visual assessment using your engineering expertise. But mm-hmm. like without like having some power to the consoles of either the flight control or the deck of the ship itself, you know, that's about all you can tell.
So as they're assessing, you know, the engineering situation or whatever, I think Tex would kind of approach, be like, "Hey, yo, everything all right? What's the sitch with the ship?"
All right. So, just to clarify, is it that it did not finish being filled up?
Or? You don't know. You just kind of get the insight that it is not fully fueled because of the way that it. What it looks like right now. It looks like either the process wasn't finished or it never got started.
Huh. So, and that's separate from the fact that it needs like electrical power.
Well, the ship itself has its own power source, but you'd have to get on the ship for that, and you would assess that you would need power in the hangar to be able to fuel it.
All right. So here's the deal. I hope you all can hear me.
You can't fucking hear.
No pads, people.
We still
no
gotta
pads.
Find the power and turn this thing on, or we can't get out of here.
So, I don't know how.
Type it to me, mate. Type it to me, and he starts making so like gestures.
This will be a longer process than it should, but Tex will basically communicate to you and the rest of the party that, like, hey man, I don't know shit about tinkering and engineering or whatever, so this may sound dumb as hell, but I'm just saying, I got a couple of shot grenades. If there's any way that you can like do your engineering prowess to like make a jumper cable situation, if that's necessary. I'm just saying, that's what I can provide.
So Vin reads the you know, the whole thing that Tex writes out and looks at him like, mate, are you fucking daft? You're gonna blow us all up, you know that, right?
And he like realizes you can't hear him, and he's like flips you the bird, and he's like, I said I don't fucking know. I'm just trying to help with what materials I have.
All right, we're wasting time. We gotta find the power.
Sig puts on
Natasi holds up.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh no, just Natasi holds up in one hand the med kit, in the other hand the dermal stapler. Cocks her eyebrow.
Sig pulls out his reading glasses and he pulls out his notepad and starts typing to Vin, and he's like, speaking of blowing us all up, you might want to close the valve on that thing. If we turn the power on, something sparks, this whole hangar could light up.
Fair enough. And do I need to roll a check to see if I can close that valve? No. All right. Well, then Vin will be like,
"You can do that."
All right, then, and close the valve.
Yeah.
All right. We need to find the power. All right. So before we leave this hangar, can we just do a perception check on the hangar itself and kind of see something we're missing, maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
I'd like to percept the hangar. Adam, keep in mind that you're going to want to take a 4 off this if it's an auditory perception.
You hear a tinny sound.
Yeah. Mop.
So,
mop.
I got a 16 mop. Total.
You got a what?
A 16 total.
You're
okay.
13.
22
okay.
for Natasi.
Okay.
Natasi has that one good eye, but it's really good. She's learned to like channel all of her visual ability into that.
I'm like
one.
If Daredevil only lost one eye.
I got an 18.
Okay.
Yavari's still 6. She got a 6.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say that the three of you then, Vin and Natasi and Tex, between the three of you, you can assess that there's about 6,000 worth of UPBs here in the bay that you could load on the ship and take with you when you leave. And it wouldn't be very hard because it's already on, like, rolling crates, you know?
Okay.
Oi, get the loot and load it up while we find this power source.
sure thing.
You guys can't, you know, a pirate and his loot, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So what are you doing next? Saying sure thing as, like, the tiniest person in the party.
Okay.
Well, I think it's about time that we head out and try and find this power control room or generator or however we get the fucking lights on around here. On the way out, Natasha's going to pull out a pad and pen and paper, and she's going to flip to a blank page, write something really quick, rip it off, hand it to Ivari. It basically just says, eat more fiber. Your digestive tract is a mess.
Jesus.
There's just liquid dragon shit everywhere.
The dangers of a carnivorous diet.
Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
God. I'm just not myself today. Oh, yeah. You know what?
Ivari eats the paper.
For being like the soldier and like being the hard ass of the group, you've really had a hard time of this AP so far. You know, like you've gotten all the worst things. You've been infested by a booger snot and been scared shitless, and it's just been a mess for you. You know?
I think something that has happened to Emily as well, because like my roles are fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's like you're like, ooh, I'm gonna make a soldier so I can just be a badass in combat.
No,
like, this is your cursed character.
The redemption's coming. I believe it.
This is
fine. I believe the redemption's coming. Yeah.
Like, nothing matters to level 3 anyway.
Exactly.
Right, that's true.
That's true. Everybody right, sucks.
So I mean, unless you die before then.
Well, yeah, then it matters.
Well,
but,
thanks
okay.
for harshing my harsh.
I'm worried about myself.
Oh, okay.
Why does everybody move out into the hallway where Sigurd is?
Finn's right behind you.
Time to breach more doors.
what was that, mate? You seemed enthusiastic about it, but I didn't hear a single thing you said.
No,
you
wonder
said we're
why.
Headed to Mordor.
What? What was that?
The hobbits are going to Isengard.
So what you can remember is, Ivari, that room directly south of you is the fuel control, but again, without power, it's pretty useless. But that is the fuel control room directly below you. There is a door to your west. It's another big like garage door and then small personnel door similar to the room north in this hall. And there was also a door to the west. I'm sorry, the east on in the hallway on the south side of the wall.
You guys just open them both. Just open them one at a time. Let's pry these things open and
all
get
right, so
this.
Sigurd's in front of the one in the hall. And Ivari is in front of the garage. Sigurd, let's start with you. All right. You're
I'm
just
going
to...
Well, hold up. This is a bad
was the garage... And I'm sorry. The one that Yavari's standing in front of, is that not the elevator room?
No, that's the one north of you.
Okay. Sorry. I'm confused.
There were two garage door rooms.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can see.
So we're not doing the double kick?
Perceive for any... issues with this door. I remember.
All right, let's get that roll.
Yeah, could also Ivari Simul check.
Ooh, put it on the board. That's
it.
A 26 total, baby.
Nice.
Probably
it
to look for nothing.
Yeah, it looks like every other door.
Put it on the board. Natural one.
Oh. Ivari, you're just like, you're overwhelmed by your own stench.
Are you counting for tonight? Because I think that's three, maybe, for you?
It's at
bad.
Least two.
It's a lot.
It's at least
so
two.
Bad.
Our How average is going to plummet because of Emily.
I don't want to talk
oh,
about
not,
it.
Not in a row. I don't think they're
it's
in a row.
Not it's not in a row.
Two for okay. Emily tonight, one for me.
Oh, man. Sigurd, you open the door, and you see a small break area. It has a refrigerated unit, a beverage dispenser, comfortable seating, and a round table. A row of lockers is set into the eastern wall beneath a security camera and a holographic counter marked Days since a workplace safety incident. And it says zero.
Oh, God, something happened here. And it reeks. Somebody forgot to take everything out of the fridge before they turned everything off.
OSHA's gonna be pissed.
So without even having to roll a perception roll, as you look, you can see a key card on the table.
Yoink.
All right, so you look at it and you see that it's a security key card for the hangar.
Oh, dope. We could have used that.
Yeah, that'd have been handy.
Anything in the lockers?
Need the power to actually use it, right?
In the lockers, you find a fully charged battery and a static arc pistol.
I don't really use these, but somebody will like them.
Yeah, grab them. We'll use the battery to jumpstart the power.
Use pistols.
Should power the ship. I said I don't really use these.
Yeah, same here.
Nobody does.
Yeah, so static arc pistols are non-lethal, like stun guns, basically.
Yeah.
Useless.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yavari, you sensed no traps on the door in front of you.
Stand back, Tex. She seems to say everything's fine, so she's going to try and open it.
In fact, stand back, by the way.
Let me get a strength check for you to open the garage, unless you just want to walk through the door, but it seems like you want to go through the garage.
let's fucking roll that strength. Strength or like athletics?
Strength.
Okay, that's a dirty 20.
There you go. Boom. You just tired of all this mess and you just and like rip the door like right up. Kind of gets jammed off of its hinges as you like slam it up into the top and it's kind of now stuck open. And in there, you see that the center of this room is occupied by a power core that stretches from floor to ceiling. Cables attached to the core stretch in all directions overhead. A security camera is pointed at the power core, and the computer terminal adjacent to the core emits a dim light.
Okay. She would kind of call down the corridor, but I found the power! And she just kind of start... She'd bop in there.
Sig would run down the corridor, tapping everybody that's deaf.
Boy, what is it, mate?
He just gives the like hand gesture to follow him.
All right.
Also, I don't want to call too much attention to what could be a red herring, but this is two splat texts we've read in a row right now that are very clear about where the security cameras are pointing.
True.
I mean, just saying. Everybody's gone.
Yeah, we
right?
killed the bots though.
We killed some bots.
I think it's fine.
Unless there are more that will get powered up, because robots get powered up.
Nah, well, I will say that you guys at this point know that you've opened every door in the facility. You can feel pretty confident that you've cleared out the map, so to speak, or at least the facility. You've opened every door, checked everything out. This is the last room to really dig into. So this is the power management room.
All right, so when Vin comes to the door, he's going to be like, oi, hell yes, this is what I'm talking about. And what do I need to do to try to get this power on?
Well, you're going to need to roll. Okay, you're going to need to take 10 minutes and roll a successful engineering check.
Okay, that's not good.
So now, that being said, those 10 minutes, anybody can use that 10 minutes for a short rest. But not if you are trying to fix the power, right?
Well, hell yeah, I'll do that. I mean, I don't know if it's worth it for 10 stamina, but...
I mean, it's free, pretty much. Well, it costs
it's
costs
a resolve point. Yeah.
I'm already at 3
out of
4. I
don't get that opportunity.
No, I mean, so you're going to do the engineering check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mari's right, so going to assist with that.
Okay.
If she can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does anybody have hit point damage? I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I do. But it's only like 5. Yeah, I've taken 5 hit point damage.
Okay.
5 hit point damage? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because I still should have my one ability that I could use once a day, the healing touch, that heals 5 hit points per mystic level if I spend 10 minutes doing it. If you want that, this could be a good time to use it, considering that I don't
feel like... This is like the best time to use it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't feel like we're going to use it. So, all right. So she's just going to kind of, you know, put her hands on Tex's shoulders and sit him down in a little chair and put a finger up in front of his face, like, don't go anywhere. And both hands go back on the shoulders, and she starts slowly channeling this red energy into him, and his wounds start to close up.
Oh, hell yeah, I hadn't had a massage in forever.
Yeah, his burns start to dial back a little bit. They don't look quite so inflamed. Yavari, if you're aiding, you're not going to be able to take the short rest.
That's fine. That's
okay. Fine.
All right, give me just a few minutes to figure this out.
Okay.
Dragon Lady, will you help me real quick? Hold this wrench.
Yeah, all right. Got it.
And I think I want to use my other inspiration on this just because it feels like it's a clutch moment to need it.
Indeed.
So... Oh, no, it fell. Like, it just, I don't know, like, out of my hand. Ooh, a natural 20 on that. Get that direwolf again. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes. I think the power's on.
Yeah, so after about 10 minutes, the power core returns to its full functionality through a full reboot cycle. And when it finally like comes up and says, you know, Hangar 7 online, boom, the lights come on. And so now, like, everything kind of powers up, and you hear the soft hum of electricity as it kind of pumps through the hangar.
I hear no such thing. But Ben's like, hey, look, I did it. Was there ever any doubt?
I will say that once the lights come on, you can see a small cabinet kind of flush with the wall, tucked into the northeast corner of the room. And with just simply opening the cabinet and looking inside, there is an engineering toolkit.
I think I already have one of those.
Yeah.
I do not have
that one. Would improve your engineering by 2 if you take
one. No, I have one. I have one. I have an engineering kit. I do.
I mean, I think, yeah. I
have do one. You, Yavari? Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else need one?
I mean, I don't even have don't have any rags.
Yeah.
All right. We'll and there's one it, more, but there's one more battery.
Snag it just for posterity's sake.
All right. So where to now? So the power's back on, and so if you remember, there's the fuel control room, there's the flight control room, there's the security station, and then there's a bunch of storage areas.
We need to go to the fuel room first, right, and make sure that. That we're getting enough gas in the ship and all that kind of stuff.
I think if we're doing that, we need to reconnect the fuel to the tank because we did close the tank. We did not have the fuel line connected to the tank.
You know, I would think that, you know, you guys pulled out that manual from one of the storage areas about the maintenance and the refueling process. And so with that, you know, when you were looking through that, you would know that you probably have to start everything through the flight control. That's kind of the central computer to give you the kind of idea of what steps you need to take to fuel. You could see, you'll be able to see what the...
Like diagnostics and stuff?
Right, right.
Okay, well then let's go to the flight control station.
All right, so everybody can move to the flight control room. As a reminder, you know, you see this row of computer consoles set into the northern wall. Now that the power core has been rebooted, the computers are on and the room is lit and it's displaying information about the Terminus Wild. Roll an engineering check, anybody who's got it.
I have it. It's pretty good. At 25. Will that get it?
Yeah. So you like, you know, I feel like really when it comes down to it, Vin is like the ship guy. Like he knows his starships to some degree as being
not,
a pirate.
He's really not though. Yavari is a fucking star, right?
I don't know.
Not rolling like one.
No, that's I know. I That's what's so, so goddamn frustrating about this entire thing.
So Vin's like, yeah, okay, this thing, you know, you can assess that it's in fully functional order. The Terminus Wild is good to go. The only thing that's wrong with it is that its conventional thrusters need refueling, and you know that you need those thrusters to get off the surface. You see that it would take a computer's check to activate the refueling process, but you need to do two things first. You need to repair the fuel hose clamp in the hangar, or you can hold the place you can hold the hose in place yourself, and then you need to reset the fuel injection system parameters in the fuel control room.
All right, so I'll go to the fuel control room, and Yavari can go to the hangar.
Yeah, and if it'll cut time, Yavari will just hold the hose. Nailed it. Got it in one. Instead of, like, fixing it.
Yeah, you think you can do that without rolling?
You can hold it without rolling it. You can try to clamp it with a roll, with an engineering roll. And you would know that it would take about 10 minutes per attempt to repair the clamp. Or you can just hold it in place.
Will I have to roll? No, fuck this. Yeah, she'll just hold it in place because she doesn't want to use 10 minutes. And, I mean, we're literally under the gun, right?
Yeah, we are under the gun. Yeah.
So she'll just go in and wherever that hose is, she will go and get it and assume the position. And then she'll call out, "Okay, Vinny, go!" And then there's no response.
Vin does not hear you at all.
Well, okay, so one thing to note, too, that the fuel room is, I mean, not connected. And there's a hallway and a hole. I mean, even if you could hear, it would be hard for him to hear you shouting that from the hangar.
She thinks you're trying second. To hold.
You're holding it in place. That's your...
Yeah.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I assume that a tall dragon person would be able to hold that.
So you're not even going to try to fix the clamp?
Does it take 10
time,
minutes?
Because of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we could spend the 10 minutes loading the UPBs onto the ship.
Now you're thinking.
Okay. Or if we wanted to go ahead and bring the people down, I mean, can we, like, triple task here?
Up to you guys. It's what you want to do, you know?
I mean, I can go get the people since I'm not useful at anything else.
That was the elevator thing we thought, right? In the other room did that go to the surface?
Yeah.
It does, but you wouldn't need to use that even. You could just run up the stairs.
I was just thinking, bring everybody down all at once.
Well, the only thing about that is that's a pretty wide opening exposing to the swarm, right? I'm not okay. Trying to help you guys out here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So let's kind of triple task then. You've already looked at text and be like, can you go get the other passengers and we'll load everything up?
Hell yeah, but I ain't going to promise. I ain't going to pop that smart ass fucking doctor. Was he a doctor? Lodesworth or whatever?
Yeah. Okay.
What was he?
Ah, yes. Lodesworth.
Yes, yeah. Lodesworth.
Loachwork.
It's not what my notes say, Adam.
Everybody's notes say Lodesworth.
Okay, well, it's Lodesworth.
Yep, that's canon.
So the plan is Tex is going to go get the folks. Yavari's going to try to work on the clamp.
Yes.
Vin's going to try to reset the parameters in the fuel injection lab.
Mm-hmm.
And Sigurd and Natasi are just going to kind of keep watch during this whole process.
Load the UPBs.
Yeah.
They're going to load the UPBs. Okay.
While keeping my head on a swivel.
All right, so we'll go through this bit by bit. Yavari, let's start with you.
I would like to use an inspiration.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Roll that engineering check.
Natural 20.
There it is.
Oh, sweetest day ever.
Have a success. We have a successful fix on the clamp, but that takes 10 minutes. All right. So we'll just kind of go through this. Next, Vin. Tell me about you resetting the thing, I will need an engineering check from you as well.
It's not a computer's, it's engineering.
It's not a computer's, it's engineering.
It's the same bonus either way.
Okay.
That's pretty good, man. That's, 19?
19. Yeah, using the manual, you're able to set the parameters, get everything set, like, you're on it, like, you've been part of the refueling process before. You now know the parameters for this particular ship, and you feel pretty confident that you can work your way through the programming needed to do that. All right. Tex. I'll say that for Sigurd and Natasi, you run into no issues loading the UPBs onto the ship. You know, as you're loading it, things seem fine, you know, at least in the first couple minutes. Tex, we're going to go to you.
Oh, God.
And you are there. You make your way up the stairs and you see Zelonin and you see everybody else on the surface. What do you say to him?
All right, y'all, I have returned. Okay, do you have something?
Well, yeah, Vin, I need you to move back to the fuel room because that's where you are. And Tex, I need you to move to the stairs because that's where you are.
Oh, God. He's splitting us up legit like.
I don't like this at all. I don't like this at all. There's no reason I couldn't move back into the control room.
Well, no, because it takes you time to do this.
It's all It takes you the time to do this.
This is all happening simultaneously.
I don't even remember where the stairs are.
They're on the top left of the map,
oh,
Tex.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Tex. I'm so sorry.
Sigurd and Natasi, yeah, you'd be in the room with Yavari, probably loading up into the back of the ship. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tex, yeah.
No matter what happens, you've always been the heart of this party, and we love you.
100%.
Hey, man, look, I will say, if something happens and I die knowing that at least a couple people in that party that I'm about to talk to think I'm a hero, and I have a backup character built, so...
All right, so Tex, you're at the stairs, you're at the top of the stairs, and you see Zelonin there, and Zelonin says,
Cowboy, it is good to see you. Is it time to leave?
Yes, sir. Zelonin Hookstanges, it is time to leave. I believe my accomplices and I have, we found a ship, we're refueling it, and had to make a couple repairs real quick. I'm going to escort you fine folks down there so we can get you all loaded on the ship.
All right. And he turns to the rest of the crew. He says, it is time. The Forever Queen protects us. We will follow the great Tex Arcana, and he will lead us to safety, as he is blessed by Hylax, and there's no way that this could go wrong. Come, follow the great Tex Arcana.
Man, I really do not care for your timbre.
And so, yeah, you lead the group back down, and so I would say you would get to about right here where I'm peeing. It's right there at the intersection of the hallway, so you can bring yourself down there, and you've got the rest of the crew like right here, Heath, a little bit further south.
I didn't see where you peeing. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so you're there kind of right in front of the power room looking down the hallway that goes to the hangar. Vin is in there furiously working on the computer, getting the fuel parameters correct. Sigurd and Natasi are loading up the UPBs, and we have Yavari, who's furiously trying to prove herself as the tech that she is, and successfully getting the clamp together. As this is going, about 5 minutes in, some of the rotors in the complex crank up. You know, as Vin's getting the fuel pumping through and the clamps connecting, and this loud sound begins to emanate through the hangar. And all of you have a moment of fear as you realize that you are broadcasting your presence here big time, as the sound is just vibrating through the hangar and through the surface above. And Tex, as you step into that hallway, at the end of the hallway, the wall bursts open as a whole contingent of swarm digs their way through into the hangar, trying to eradicate the last bit of life that is here on Siskilin. You see two swarm dredgers. You see two swarm Vorfomas, and you see a swarm component that you haven't seen before. And let me show you a picture of this. It's like acid is dripping off of its arms as it comes into view, and it seems to be commanding the swarm in front of them. And this is what you see.
No.
It just has this like vertical mouth and acid dripping from it, and it just extends one long claw at you and hisses in the most god-awful swarm version of speech. And I need you to finish your drinks because we'll see you.
Damn. I thought for sure we were going to get off this fucking planet, man.
I guess 6,000 EPBs was worth two casters.
Yeah, totally. They dug.
Is that all worth to you? 3,000 EPBs.